All right, everybody.
All right, everybody.
Service is about to start, so please open up your hymnals, take your seats, and open up to your first song, which is going to be Jesus Loves Me. It's going to be Jesus Loves Me in 187. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right, brother. Pray for us, please, if you would, brother. Amen. All right, so turn in your second song in your hymnals to How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, song number 39, please. How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. All right. Jason?
Of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he have given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
All right, amen. If you would raise your hands in the air, a person will come and give you a bulletin. But Brother James, please.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. Thanks for coming tonight. We're just going to go through our bulletin real quick. If you do not have a bulletin, Brother Jeff can get you one. Just raise your hand. Our service times are there on the top left, 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, 5:30 Sunday evening. And tonight is our Bible study night, 7 p.m. And then we have our soul-winning times there and the respective leaders. If you want to start a soul-winning time, let Brother Nick know. You could get a soul-winning time going in your area if you need to. And then there are stats, or salvations and baptisms. Is there any numbers to report for this week? Any soul-winning? Anybody have any salvations? Okay. Well, keep up the soul-winning, guys. We also want to be in prayer for our expected mothers, Miss Darnell. And so she's having a baby girl here in June, so keep her in your prayers. And then we have some upcoming guest preachers. Of course, tonight, Brother Segura from Faithful Word. We love having him here. He's here so much, too. I mean, he is technically a member of this church. So, but anyway, thank you for coming and preaching for us. We always enjoy that. Please let him know after the service. And then, you know, March 20th, we've got Brother Ben Naim coming. And so you know that that's going to be, you know, a very tenacious, leather lung preaching, as always, from Brother Ben. And then we have some upcoming events. And this is very exciting. If you can get to this, please get to it. It will definitely help us in our work of evangelism, that this church is our first works, right? And what I'm talking about is a soul-winning seminar at Steadfast up in Hearst, Texas. So that's going to be on March 24th, 5th, and 26th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so if you can get off work, and go check it out, even if you can only be there one day, get there at least one day, and it's just going to be a workshop plus soul winning. So we're going to learn some stuff, hopefully, and then we're going to be able to apply it immediately, which is really nice. And then we'll actually be able to kind of role play and learn some stuff and do it right then, which is just going to help us and sharpen us. So be a part of that if you can be. Also, Soul Winning Marathon, April 2nd. That's going to be in College Station. So that's Brother Nick's backyard, his hometown, and so he says that it's very receptive there, especially with the college people there, the younger crowd there. They're kind of like trying to figure out what do they believe, And so what a great opportunity is to show them the truth, and then they can make up their mind what they want to believe. That's going to be a great soul-winning marathon. And then another soul-winning marathon in Texas, in Austin, Texas. So I can't remember what the phrase is, make Austin right again, or normal again, right? And so Austin does get labeled with UT there as being very liberal, but, you know, there's got to be a lot of conservative people maybe trying to figure out the truth on salvation. And so we want to be there to get more people saved in that area. And you know, who knows, maybe they'll start a church there one day because there's a bunch of believers that got saved and somebody goes and pastors a church there, a good church. So be a part of that. Those are all great events. And then we have prayer requests there. And of course, first and foremost is definitely Pastor Shelley and his family, and not just his immediate family, but his congregation with everything that they're going through. You know, they don't have the opera or the, they don't have a building like this where they're at right now. They're kind of like winging it and making things happen because of the persecution that's coming, you know, towards them. Because, you know, churches that are doing what's right, going out preaching the gospel, preaching the truth, you know, they're getting persecuted, and that's what's happening. Please pray for those guys. And I know Pastor says, hey, everybody's got a good attitude, and, you know, the church members are being great soldiers through this, and amen to that. And we just want to ask God to help them out in any area where they may lack or need some kind of support or comfort. You know, God is so kind to us. But that, and then Brother Edward, he's actually in surgery today, and so he it's just an in and out thing for his ear. So keep him in prayer. And add anybody to this list when you have your prayer time. And if you need something put on the bulletin, just go ahead and email the church, and we can get those people added so that we can all pray for them. That is what we've got in the bulletins tonight. Brother Jeff, come lead us in the next song. What number?
It's Nothing But the Blood.
Nothing But the Blood. Okay.
All right, turn your hymnals to Nothing But the Blood, which is 30, song number 30, Nothing But the Blood. Okay. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other founts I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No
I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Gracing everyone, now if you would turn into your Bibles into 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we will have Brother James come read for us. And I'll pass it around the offering plate as well.
First John chapter number 5. First John chapter number 5. And the Bible reads, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Let's pray.
Father God in heaven, thank you for the service tonight. Please bless the services. Please bless Brother Segura and the congregation here. Please fill Brother Segura with your Spirit so he can preach your truth and your word. And please help us have an ear to hear and pay attention and limit distractions so that we can apply this to our lives, so we can serve you better, serve each other better, love each other better. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Where it's good to be back. And I'm flying out tonight, so pray for me. Last time I was here, I was late because the driver just didn't want to pick me up for whatever reason. And then I figured, no, he's probably just having a bad day or whatever the case may be. But then he actually did report me, and I got some kind of strike from Uber saying that our driver has reported that you're not wearing a mask. If you continue this, we're going to cancel your account or whatever the case may be. And I'm thinking, I wonder if this has to do with church. And even to this day, I don't know. But it's funny because I got into the Uber, and it literally says, "Dropping off Christopher at Pure Words Baptist Church." Amen. So I'm thinking, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. The guy's name was Muhammad. I'm not accusing him of anything. I just know for a fact when it's taking me here, it does tell the driver, "Pure Words Baptist Church. World famous, amen? Amen. All right, so 1 John 5:11, go ahead and look at it. Very familiar verses. These are verses that we use out soul winning. You probably even use them to kind of strengthen your faith whenever you start to kind of doubt sometimes. And it can happen. I'm not saying this happened to you guys. It's very difficult to doubt your salvation when you're reading your Bible, going to church, listening to good preaching. When you're right with the Lord, He'll keep you straight. But let's just face it. The people that struggle with it are people that backslide, leave church, go back to the world. They'll struggle with it. No doubt in my mind. But all I got to say is like, hey, just read 1 John 5:11 and take a look at it. It says, and this is the record. What's the record? Well, I'm not going to give you the dictionary.com definition. I just went to thesaurus.com. Everybody's always dictionary.com. I'm like, I'm going to do thesaurus.com tonight. Amen. And this is what it says. Record, evidence, testimony, documentation, the witness. Hey, that matches. So what is it saying? This is the evidence, the testimony. You can even say documentation because it's the scriptures. This is the witness. This is what the Bible says, bottom line. It says, this is the record that God hath is an old English way of saying has, saying you have it, you have it. It says that God has given to us eternal life. And this life, talking about eternal life, says this life is in His Son, meaning it's in Jesus Christ's hands, figuratively speaking, of course. So the title of my sermon tonight is this, once eternal, always eternal. Once eternal, always eternal. And you're like, man, a basic sermon tonight? I could have probably just read this at my house. Why did I have to drive all the way down here, risk getting in an accident? We're not going to just read it. Well, listen, we know that once saved, always saved is legit. But a lot of people don't believe that. I'll give you an example. He's a false prophet who's heard of Creflo Dollar. I believe that's his name. Creflo Dollar. He was in the media because he was praying for something. And they were giving him heat. You know what he was praying for? Not just a jet, an $80 million jet. And they're like, what does a pastor need an $80 million jet for? Well, I need to do God's word. I need to do the word, the Lord's work. I need to go from point A to point B or whatever the case may be. And now really, I'm thinking, I just got on Southwest. Hey, let me put it this way. I was trying to read. I just closed my eyes and I passed out. Next thing you know, prepare yourself for landing, put up the trays. I'm like, what? 2.5 hours? Man, I did get up at 4:30, but I didn't think I was that tired. And even though it may seem like people are crowded, like little, you know, little whatever in a tuna can, it's not that bad. The worst is the sound. I'll give you the sound. The sound of the engines are loud. But guess what, Creflo? You don't need an $80 million jet to fix that. You just need an $80 pair of headphones with noise canceling, and you're good. Ask me how I know, because as soon as those suckers came up, and it was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, 5-minute rest. Prepare for landing. What? Oh, man, it was that quick. So we know Creflo is full of it, amen? But here's what he did recently. I think 4 weeks ago, guess what he decided to preach against? Once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Look him up. Google him on YouTube. Creflo Dollar. Go to his YouTube page. And guess what he's preaching against? Just keep scrolling down. You'll see it. It's called The Truth About Once Saved, Always Saved. And he goes to Hebrews 6. And I'm thinking, Hebrews 6, I can do better than that. But let's just get the fundamentals down really quickly. Let's just put them out there right now. It's like, what else do you need? And the reason I called this sermon, Once Eternal, Always Eternal, I would like to see Creflo preach against Once Eternal, Always Eternal. See, Once Saved, Always Saved, we gave it that name because people were mocking it. And we're like, yep, that's what we believe. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you have salvation, you always have salvation. But it's kind of interesting how he just wants to talk about how once you're saved, you know, saying you're not always saved. Well, I'm thinking, what if the sermon was called, or what if it was called Once Eternal, Always Eternal? What is he going to say? Because even a little kid can figure that out. I mean, there just came out a movie in theaters. Isn't it called The Immortals or The Eternals? I don't even know who makes it. But it's a movie that caught my title. It's like some superhero movie called The Eternals or something like that. I guess these people were on Earth living forever or whatever. What's it called? The Eternals, right? What does eternal mean? Forever. Hey, can you email Creflo Dollar and let him know that, please? All right, go school that guy, okay? But see, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there's people out there that don't believe once saved, always saved. But we're thinking, how? How? And I've had people even in our church. Say, listen, I'm saved. I know it's eternal. I believe Jesus. I believe in the Trinity. I believe hell's forever. I believe this. I believe that. I believe eternal life is a gift. That's what he says. It's a gift. But I'm struggling with Hebrews 6. I'm struggling with it. Like, what is this about? And I'm thinking, well, don't you believe the basics of Christianity? That eternal life is a gift? Forget about Hebrews 6. Before we get to Hebrews, what comes first? You got Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. It's like, look, brother, before we talk about Hebrews 6, let's go back to John. You might have missed what it said in John. Let's talk about it really quickly. So if you have your Bibles, go to John 3. Quickly go to John 3. Well, you go to John 3, I'm gonna read from John 10:28. One of my favorite verses to preach to people out knocking doors. It says in John 10:28, and I give, amen, not reward, I give unto them eternal life. Hey, what does eternal life mean again? Look at this. He's already like tuned out. He's tuning me out. He's eternal life. What does it mean again? Forever, right? Forever. All right. Hey, I'm going to pick on you because I need your help tonight, okay? All right, so stay awake. And what are you drawing in? I'm just kidding. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. I mean, it's hard not to understand what eternal means today in 2022 when you got dictionary.com, thesaurus.com. But forget about those. I mean, the Bible does a great job helping you to understand certain phrases, certain words, and eternal is one of those. Because God's just helping us over and over and over again so that we have no doubt when it comes to what eternal means. Verse after verse after verse, and this is one of them. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never, never perish. Neither shall a man pluck them out of my hand. These are verses you guys have probably quoted hundreds of times if you've been out soul winning. And not just that, John 14:6 says this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because like it says in 1 John 5, that eternal life is in the Son. He has it. Eternal life is your ticket to heaven. Without it, you cannot go. And there's only one person that's passing out these tickets, and that's Jesus Christ. You can say, I believe in God, like the Muslim, but I don't know about Jesus. I think he's just a prophet. Well, you better figure that out really quickly, because if you ask God for a ticket to heaven, he ain't going to give it to you. He's going to say, no, did you not realize that it's through the Son? I wrote it. You claimed that you believe in me. You know, well, why don't you listen to what I said? And what did he say? Because this is coming from God, everything in the Bible. Says it's in his Son. It's through Jesus Christ. You come to him, he'll give it to you. We have verses to back that up. And what is this gift? What is it? Well, we already know Romans 6:23, that is eternal life. The gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ. But you're right there in John 3. More verses. I mean, I don't understand how people can think that Hebrews 6 has anything to do with believers. Because isn't this just fundamental stuff? I mean, I used to listen to a lot of false doctrine, and I never got into it. Why did I listen to it? Because I was trying to find preaching, and I would go to websites, and I would think that I found something that was good, and sure enough, I'm listening to Ray Comfort, I'm listening to Kirk Cameron, I'm listening to whoever, I'm listening to Ken Hovind, and I'm thinking, wow, man, these guys are awesome, because I don't know my Bible. But then when you start hearing things like, hey, you need to turn from sin, this is what Ray Comfort says, eternal life is a gift, and if you repent, turn from sin, and to the Savior, he'll grant you everlasting life, and you'll go to heaven, and you'll never go to hell. Well, that's not the gospel. If you turn from sin to Jesus, that's works. We know that's works because of Jonah. Jonah said when God saw their works that they turned from the evil way, they got repented of the evil they said it would do unto them. So we know that, hey, turning from any sin, if you think you got saved because you gave up drinking, you gave up whatever sin, and it's always the easy ones. You need to stop committing adultery. Oh, yeah, I know. You know what? You need to stop killing people. I don't think any comfort ever does that. Because obviously we know you don't have to be told it's wrong. I mean, when somebody murders, I mean, come on. I'm not even going to go there. But hey, Ray Comfort, why don't you tell them they need to start giving 10% of their money? Because you know they're not doing it. Why don't you tell them, hey, you know what? Because he knows. Do you really think that the average person that Ray Comfort talks to is tithing? Do you really think they're tithing? No, they're robbing from God. But isn't that interesting? He never mentions robbing from God. They go through the Ten Commandments. That's his soul winning style. He likes to show them just how bad of a person he is. Well, mention tithing in there. Let's see if they get saved. Let's see if they'll pray. I highly doubt they will. If they ever do, who knows what I'm talking about? His videos, he's witnessing, they never pray. I saw just 1 out of 100 that prayed, and this woman did not get saved because she felt that she was living in sin and she never realized how bad she is and she's ready to give it up. So she's coming to Christ saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to get saved now. I'm ready to give up my sins. And Jesus is like, what? That's not my gospel. Hey, I said repent and believe the gospel. I'm talking about mine, not whatever one you want. But look at this, John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, it says, hey, I need to be lifted up. I must be crucified. I must die on the cross. Why? That whosoever believes, I love how it's just written so amazing. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He could have just stopped there. God could have just put a period after perish and have plenty of other verses like John 3:16 to explain to us what that means in case you're wondering, in case you're doubting, in case you're maybe a child back when this was written and you really didn't have that much of an education. But he finishes it up by saying, hey, you're not going to perish, but you're going to have not just life. He gets very specific, eternal life, eternal life. So what's the title of the sermon? Once eternal, always eternal. It's the same as once saved, always saved. But some people don't get it, and they want to attack once saved, always saved, and they'll use Hebrews 6, and we'll get into Hebrews 6 in a second. But I mean, is this hard? The stuff that I've showed you, eternal life, what's it mean? Forever. I mean, he's got it. Forever. And does that mean it's going to end one day? No. No. He's slow to answer, but he's got the right answer. I mean, how can you get confused with these verses? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent us into the world to condemn the world. Maybe you're not sure what condemn means, but when you look at the context, you can tell one thing from reading this. Even if you can't tell that condemn here is talking about hell, everlasting fire, it clearly shows that it's bad. This condemnation is bad. That's why it says this, sent out his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'll just go down to verse 36. If you can, go all the way down to the very end of John 3, verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath. Obviously, that's God's punishment. We know what that means. That means hell, everlasting fire, everlasting torment, whatever you want to call it. It says the wrath of God abideth on the individual that does not believe in everlasting life. So when you have people saying, I believe it's eternal, I believe it's a gift, but listen, I'm wondering. You're wondering? I'm just wondering. I'm wondering, can a person go from here to here? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? From here to here. I'm like, well, let me see if I got this right. Are you saying from everlasting life to death? Yeah. How could you even ask that? How do I even answer that? It's almost like a foolish question. It's like, so you're literally struggling right now, but I believe in the Trinity. I believe Jesus died for all my sins. I believe he resurrected. I believe eternal life is a gift. I believe it's 100% by faith. But can a person go from here to here? Like, what do you mean? It's like, no, no, like, no. I can understand if you get confused with Hebrews 6 because it can kind of seem like it's talking about a saved person, a faithful individual, but let's just get eternal out the way. It's like, what part of eternal don't you understand? What does eternal mean? Forever, forever. That means it'll never end. But listen, there's people that are literally struggling with this and claiming they believe in eternal life. I'm like, wait a minute, how does that work? One thing I didn't struggle when I got saved was the fact that eternal means eternal. Now, when I read Hebrews 6, I'm like, you know what? Is that talking about saved people? Because I thought they could. No, that's not. Oh, that's what I thought. And what is this talking about? Well, if it's not about saved, it's about unsaved people. But there's also other things that people say about Hebrews 6 that is not talking about. Some people say it's talking about believers. Other people say it's talking about, you know, Christians who backslide and they leave. And they go off the deep end. It's like, it's talking about those people. It's not even talking about those, but we'll get into that in a second. But I'm just trying to go over the verses that we already know. I mean, how many verses do you have to be shown for you to be, like, convinced that you cannot lose it? Here's some more. If you got your Bible, go back to 1 John 5:10. I'm going to read from John 6:47. And listen, when I wasn't going to church, when I wasn't reading my Bible, when I wasn't listening to preaching, when I started to get backslidden, when I started to get back into sin, I did have a time when I wondered, am I even saved? I did. I'm like, man, am I even saved? And especially when I came across Ray Comfort. I'm like, man, if this guy's right, I'm not saved. But I thought it was a gift. See, my anchor was always the gift. My anchor was always eternal. Because what does it mean? Forever. Forever. And I'm thinking to myself, surely, Ray Comfort is not saying what I think he's saying, is he? That I had to have stopped sinning? Oh, there it is. Unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. And I'm like, whoa. And now I'm at the point where I'm useless to the Lord. Because unless you're 100% sure with confidence, you're going to have a hard time serving the Lord. You're going to just stay put. You're going to be scared to go left or right. You're like, man, I don't even want to do anything until I figure this out. Why? Because you don't have faith. Your faith starts to drop because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So guess what? Doubting comes by hearing, and that's by not hearing the word of God. So what am I saying? I'm simply saying this, that the verses in the Bible are powerful. They will get you back on track immediately. Here's an example. John 6:47. This is the one verse I love using because it reminds me when I was struggling. Am I really saved? Ray Comfort, is he right? And if you don't know who Ray Comfort is, he's just a heretic that just likes to tell people that, hey, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is an everlasting gift through Jesus Christ. And if you repent, turn from your sins to the Savior. He just twists the scriptures, and he still hasn't figured out the King James is the only one he should be reading. But he's so smart. He's been reading his Bibles for so long, and he does these so many videos, but he never gets anyone saved. He got one person out of 100 videos that I've seen pray, but it wasn't even Ray Comfort. It was another lady that did it. But when you see Ray Comfort, he kind of leaves people hanging. But he's telling them lies. He's preaching them damnable heresy, stuff that's going to send out just himself to hell, but other people as well. But look at John 6:47. This verse got me back on track instantly when I was wondering about Ray Comfort. Like, does sin matter when you're getting saved? I see it says repent. I see that it says unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Hey, I see it all day long. Jesus says repent and believe the gospel. What did he mean? Well, when you read the entire Bible, you kind of realize that works have nothing to do with it. The New Testament is even more clearer. And here's one of the reasons why. John 6:47. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It doesn't say eternal this time, but it says everlasting. And we all know it means the same thing. God's just helping us out because he knew we were going to struggle in 2022 because of a bunch of heretics out there trying to twist God's word. And he's like, they're going to twist my word eternal one day. And you know what? I'm going to slap everlasting to make it even harder for them to do that because that's just the facts. You know, these guys are going around saying eternal life is a gift. It is a gift. But listen, you cannot sin away your salvation, but you can denounce it. You can denounce your salvation. You can let it go. And I have other people tell me something similar. I had a guy tell me something like this. Well, listen, I think it's more like this. It's kind of like if somebody gives you a car for a gift, right? And after 15 years of driving it, you kind of get tired of that car. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm tired of this car. I need a new one. And you look around and you see someone you like and you're like, yo, man, you need a car? I sure do. Here, boom, you throw them the keys and now it belongs to them. You gave it away. That's kind of what I'm thinking because that's reality. Yeah, but that's not eternal. It's not. It's more like this. Hey, you know what? I'm sick of this car. I'm just going to give it away. Boom. Hey, you know what? Here you go. Boom. You throw the keys, and that's a nice little keychain attached and bounces right back at you. That keychain ain't never coming off. That's what it is. No matter who you toss the keys to, it's going to be blank, blah, boom, right back. Like those janitor keys, the ones that come right back, you know? They're like a million keys, and he's like, boom, you know, drops it, whoosh, right back. That's more like what it is if he really wants to get technical. You know, but what do we see in Scripture all day long? It's a gift. It's eternal. You'll never perish. I mean, look at this one, John 11:25. This one got me on track. It always gets me on track. It helps me to get people on track or helps me to get people saved. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Creflo Dollar does not believe you get eternal life the moment you believe on Jesus. Because if he did, and if he tells you, no, I do believe you get saved the moment you believe in the Lord, call upon his name. If he says that, he's lying. And these people, they may not admit it because they're too scared to tell people what they really believe. But you know they believe in contradictions. You know they believe there's contradictions in the Bible. God didn't make those contradictions. Man made those contradictions through translation. Something's lost in the translation. That's why they read the ESV. That's why he wasn't quoting when I listened to his sermon. He wasn't quoting from the King James. He wasn't.
And when people say eternal life is a gift, but I don't believe you can denounce it, that's a contradiction, dummy. It's like, how could you not see that? Because it's called a strong delusion. And when God gives you over, he gives you over to a strong delusion. Where people are like, how stupid is this guy? It's like, he literally just told me it's eternal, but you can lose it. That does not match. That's the opposite. But listen to this. Shall never die. Believest thou this? He says that to Martha. She says unto him, yea, Lord, you better believe that. This is what you need to believe in order to be saved. That you'll never die no matter what. You'll never go to hell. If you're saved, if God has given unto you eternal life like the Bible says, you will never perish. You never will. But what did they say? Look at 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God has a witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. And that's what these people are doing. They're making God liars and they don't even notice it. They don't even see it. It goes right over their heads and their followers because their followers are not saved either. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the ability to understand the Scriptures. They wrestle with the Scriptures, ever learning and never, ever come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is the truth? That eternal life is eternal. What does it mean? Forever. Forever. Seriously. Now go to Hebrews 6 and let's see what they're whining about. Let's take a look and see what they keep bringing up that makes them just doubt. Like, all these verses, brothers and girls, I see what you're saying, but this one verse just makes me struggle so bad. What's up with this? These verses in Hebrews 6? Well, let's see what the fuss is all about. I'm like, all right, let's go there now, brother. But since John 3:16, John 3:36, John 6:47, John 11, John 10 didn't help you, okay, fine, let's see where you're at. Let's see where you're at. So Hebrews 6 says this. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now, does that say they were once saved? It says enlightened. What does that mean? It means that you kind of wake up, you kind of see it. You see what I'm talking about? Happens all the time. I talk to people, and they're like, hey, I believe. Oh, yeah, you believe you're a sinner? You believe Jesus died for your sins? Absolutely. You know, do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Absolutely. But why did he do that? I don't know. Well, let me tell you, he did it because he loves us. You know, Romans 5:8. He also did it because there's a hell. You believe in hell? Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. What do you believe hell is? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not really too sure about that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, hold up, though. You know? It's like, let me help you fix that problem really quickly. And then you show them verse after verse, and they still don't know. I just don't know. I'm not sure about this. Okay, well, but what did I do? I enlightened that person. I didn't get him saved, but they're now enlightened. And they say, like, whoa, I see it now. Because Mark 9, how could you not at least admit that the Bible says that hell is fire? When Jesus says, if your eye offend you, cut it off. If your hand cut it off. If your foot cut it off. And he says, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Translation is fire. And it's fire that never shall be quenched. Hey, they see it. They're enlightened. They never knew that. They heard about hell so much. But they've never seen it with their own eyes. They've never looked at the Scriptures because guess what? A lot of people have never opened up the Bible once in their life. I was one of them. When I first went to church, the pastor's like, go to Genesis. I'm like, Genesis? What is that? The only Genesis I know about is Sega Genesis. And then I'm just kind of like trying to find out where Genesis is at. I'm trying to find the index. And lucky enough, this teenager comes up to me. He sees me struggling. My first day at church, he had a Bible in his hand. He's like, hey, here you go. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, sweet, boom. Gave him back the one that they had behind the little pews. And I'm like, sweet. All right, now go to John. I'm like, can you help me out here? Boom, John. I've never seen it, but I was enlightened. When I saw verses, I'm like, wow. Hey, what got me saved? Romans 6:23 got me saved. I already believe I was a sinner. I already believe in hell. I even believe it was fire, believe it or not, growing up Catholic. I don't know how that happened. Maybe TV. I don't know. But I was convinced, hey, I believe hell is fire because that's what I've heard. That's what I've been taught. Hey, I don't see why not. You know, if there's a heaven, there's a hell, and it should be a very severe punishment if you're going to send somebody somewhere to be punished for all eternity. If you're sinning against God, and if you're that bad, hey, you should end up getting something that's really, really horrible. Not just burn up, you're done, and it's over, and nobody will ever know about you like the Jehovah's Witness false doctrine. But I was thinking, okay, I already believe that, I already believe that. God's giving me the gospel, I already believe that, I already believe that. And sure enough, it gets to something that I've never, ever seen in my life. And that was Romans 6:23. When I saw it, I was enlightened. I'm like, whoa, eternal life is a gift? Wow. Instantly, I believed it, but was I saved? No, I was not. No, I was not. Because guess what? Seeing it, being enlightened, that's not how you get saved. There's more to it, i.e., call upon the name of the Lord, i.e., understanding it, not just seeing it, but I understood it. Praise the Lord. He opened my eyes so I could understand the scriptures when I was getting saved. So I was enlightened. But these people think that these people are saved just because it says enlightened. I'm like, man, you're adding stuff to this. And it doesn't make sense. If everything we just saw, all these verses we just went over, stuff you guys have heard hundreds of times, read so many times, all these verses saying that it's eternal, that we're never going to perish, we're never going to die. That's exactly what the Bible says. All of a sudden, now people in Hebrews 6 can lose their salvation? It's like, wait a minute, hold up. Let's take a look. You're still right there in Hebrews 6? It does say it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. It still doesn't say anything about them being saved. It doesn't use those words, and have been saved by or have received the heavenly gift. Does it say they have received the heavenly gift? You already saw that it says that the gift of God is eternal life. We already saw that. We saw that it says in, you know, 1 John 5, that God gives unto us eternal life. This life is in the Son. So, of course, does it say right there that they have received the heavenly gift? No. It says, and we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. But does it say they're sealed with the Holy Ghost? Does not say that. They're jumping the gun because they see things that aren't there because they heard it from a false prophet. And there's a good chance that if you're trusting these people, the Creflo Dollars, the Benny Hinn's, the Billy Graham's or whatever, if you're trusting these people and you think they're right, you know, saying you might not actually be saved because guess what? You know what? God gives us enough wisdom to realize, hey, this doesn't make any sense. Just like Ray Comfort, everything he got me, he duped me. You know, he's a false brethren. And sure enough, as soon as he started saying things that were damnable, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know the Bible that well, but I know one thing. I know for a fact the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. That's the only verse I knew. I got saved. All right, see you later. Hope you can visit us one day. It wasn't until 22 months later that I went to church. That entire 22 months, from day one till 22 months later, no church, no Bible, no preaching, no fellowship, nothing. I had one thing only that kept me grounded, and that's the fact that I knew, I saw with my own eyes, the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life. Nothing can shake me. Not the Catholics, they were trying to convince me that I had to repent. That's the first time I heard the word repent, after I got saved in the Marine Corps. One of the Catholic lay leaders said, like, well, you have to repent. I'm like, repent? What does that even mean? He's like, you believe eternal life is a gift? Yeah, it's a gift, but you have to repent. Sounds familiar? Creflo Dollar. Creflo Dollar. You have to repent, meaning you have to walk the walk. If you don't walk the walk, guess what? You're going to get darkened. And this is what he says. You can't send away your salvation. You can't send away your salvation. Why? Because I'm pretty sure he's full of sin. But he says, but you can denounce it. Meaning that, A, you cannot lose it by sinning. But he said this, but if you sin so much, you eventually darken your heart like Pharaoh. And at that point, that's when you end up denouncing it. That's when you get so full of pride that you stop believing. Stop believing what? Stop believing on the Lord. Stop believing on salvation is by grace through faith. That is a gift. And at that point is when you reject finally Christianity and it's impossible to renew you. Translation, get you saved. But let's finish reading and we'll get to some other verses to prove that they're full of it. Don't worry, it's 29 minutes into the sermon. I'm going to try to go 15 more. Amen? It says that they have tasted of the heavenly gift and they were made partakers. So once again, what do we see? All we see is that it says that they were enlightened. It doesn't use the word saved. It doesn't use anything that even seems to imply that these people are saved. It's just they're enlightened. You know, they realize, okay, this is what it says. They realize the truth. And they've tasted of the heavenly gift. Tasted doesn't mean that they ate. Doesn't mean like they ate at all. You know, I could taste my wife's dinner, but as soon as she turns around, if I don't like it, I could spit it out. Doesn't mean I ate it. You know, I'm not saying I do that. I'm just saying I can. And it says they have tasted the good word of God. See? The good word of God, they tasted it. No, they haven't. Meaning they haven't been saved. And the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame. So this is what they say. Oh, this is talking about somebody who, you know, he just denounces it. He just gives it up. You know, he was a church member. He went to church, and he just gave it up. And at this point, hey, they are no longer saved, according to Creflo Dollar. They're no longer saved, but it's a rare few that do it. A rare few. Not everyone falls into this category. It's very rare. To get to this point, you have to just darken yourself so much, i.e. you have to sin so much that you get so dark that you can't see anymore. And then at that point, you fall away. You walk away. You leave. You're no longer saved. But hold up, isn't it eternal though? Well, brother, we're preaching against once saved, always saved. Stop bringing up eternal. You know, stop bringing that up. Because how do you preach against once eternal, always eternal? How do you preach against that? It makes no sense. But he's taking advantage of the fact that it says saved because a lot of people don't know what that means. I was first told, brother, are you saved? I don't know what that meant. I had no clue. That was the first time I ever heard the word saved was back when I was 18 or 19. One of my friends went to a church, came back, and I kind of was interested to go to this Christian church. And I told him, hey, how'd it go? And he said it was kind of weird. These people kept asking me if I was saved. This old lady came up to me. She's like, brother, are you saved? And he's like, what? And I'm like, saved? What is that? No, saved from what? You know, all I know is that people get saved from drowning. They get saved from a burning building. What are they talking about being saved? Oh, I mean, I ain't going. And I never went. But I probably should have gone and gotten saved. But now when I hear the word saved, amen, it sounds great. Saved, I love hearing that word. Are you saved? Saved, I'm saved. I'm saved because I know what that means. But Creflo does not. His congregation does not. They don't know what salvation means because once they've always saved, doesn't imply that it's eternal using that title. So he takes advantage of that. But how about this one? Once eternal, always eternal. All right, Creflo, let's preach against that. Go ahead and try. You're going to look stupid right out the go. Well, you can be eternal, but then you can stop being eternal. How the heck does that work? How could, whatever. So then, Brother Segura, if Hebrews 6 is not talking about saved people, you know, it's like, then who? Well, let's talk a little bit more that is definitely not talking about saved people. If you got your Bible, go to Romans 5. Let's just look at the basic clear scripture, stuff that you guys have read many, many times. Why? Because, listen, you know exactly what eternal means. What does it mean? But you know what? I guarantee you, someone is going to come up to you and bust out Hebrews 6. So hopefully you remember this sermon, and they're going to say, hey, Hebrews 6, my friend, what do you think about Hebrews 6? And you're like, what about it? He's like, well, it looks to me like, you know, you can lose your salvation. You better say, no! Don't you know what eternal means? It means forever. Forever. Make sure you tell him that. He's like, don't you know what he means? It means forever. Is eternal life forever or not? It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. You'll see. People are going to walk in here, and they're going to befriend you and be your friend and treat you right and flatter you and say this and say that and try to get you to like them. And then they'll start testing the waters by saying, hey, what do you think about Hebrews 6? He's like, what do you think about Hebrews 6? Well, what do you think about Hebrews 6? Well, let me ask you a question. Can a person go from here to there? What do you mean from here to there? He's specific. From eternal to uneternal? It's like, I don't even know. I think it falls under a foolish question. I just don't. I feel if I answer it, I'm going to sin against God. I really do. I really do. I'm like, bro, if I answer, I feel like I'm going to have sin in my life. Can a person go from being eternal to not being eternal? Are you really asking me that question right now? Brother, I believe eternal life is a gift. It's all through Jesus. I believe in the Trinity. I believe he died for my sins. I believe I deserve hell. I believe hell is for real. It's like, you're missing one crucial element. Is it eternal or not? Believest thou this, Martha? If not, guess where you're going. And if anybody here is wondering about it, guess where you're going? Because there's no wondering about it. If you're saved, you don't wonder about this. You don't. Now, of course, if you're backslidden and you don't go to an independent fundamental Baptist church like this one, you will wonder when Ray Comfort comes around saying, hey, it says right there, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And because of lack of knowledge, we destroy ourselves because we struggle with that. Well, you're right. It says perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. I know perish here means hell. So if he's talking about perishing over here, then I guess he's referring to hell as well. And if it says if I didn't repent, then I'm going to likewise perish. I'm like, whoa, I didn't repent when I got saved. All I said was, yes, I want to get saved. I want eternal life. Yeah, I want to pray. Let's pray right now. Let's do it. And I just prayed. And then he said, well, make sure you stop. No, it was just like, hey, you want to get saved? I want to get saved. Hey, you still believe you were asked Jesus to give eternal life and do it? I sure will. And if he gives it to you, how long would you have it? Forever, because it's eternal. What does eternal mean? Forever. Forever. And in that moment, I pray, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. You know, but please save me. Give me eternal life. Take me to heaven when I die. Boom. I wasn't thinking of any sins at that time. Not a single one. Not tithing. I wasn't thinking about that. First time I ever heard about tithing was from my Mormon brother. He's not a Mormon, but he was going to a Mormon church. And I invited him to church. And he said this. I can't go to a Christian church, bro. They want 10% of your money. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? That's a lie. And you know it, all right? You know that's a lie, brother. Next Sunday, hey, Pastor Anderson or Pastor Azarello, my brother said that Christians require 10% of your paycheck. Well, yeah, that's true. What? Are you serious? What, am I in a cult? You want 10% of my money? Well, the Bible says the tithe. You know what a tithe is? I've never heard of that word. What's a tithe? 10%. I'm like, man, am I in a cult? Well, my brother was right. I'm out of here, bro. I'm not giving this church 10% of my money. Are you serious? Are you serious? But they were right. Especially when you read in Spanish, you can't get away with it. Because the word 10 in Spanish is diez. And the word tithe in Spanish is diezmo. Like, give mo diez. Mo than diez, you know? I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm out of luck now. Started tithing as soon as somebody showed me what was right. And once I was enlightened, I didn't get resaved. I was just shown the truth, and I saw it with my own eyes, and I decided to trust it. Just because these people were enlightened doesn't mean they trusted what they were shown. They weren't. But listen, if you don't have enough faith to believe all these other verses we just went through, I told you to go to Romans 5. Let's take a look at Romans 5. And it says, but not as the offense. I love this. From verse 15 to 19. Listen to this. If you're in Romans 5, especially you like gifts? Come on, it's an easy question. Do you like gifts? Why? I love that. Keyword free, right? Well, you're going to love these verses. Let's read. But not as the offense also is the free gift. Romans 5:15. For if through the offense of many, the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, Creflo, gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we know there's none righteous, no, not one. But once you're saved, that's all God sees is the blood. He doesn't see your sins. You're justified, just as if you never sinned. He knows you sin. He wants you to confess your sin. You're still going to sin, but you're clean because you're washed in the blood. He washed away our sins with his own blood, period. So what do you see here? Free gift, free gift, free gift, three times. And then you see the word gift by itself three other times. And what is this gift? Just flip the next page. It's the gift of God, eternal life. So how could you say that you have to stay right and not get rid of this gift that's A, eternal, and B, what kind of a moron, what kind of an idiot, what kind of a, I don't even know what word to describe, somebody that would say, I know hell is real. I know if you go to hell, you'll never get out. I know you're going to burn day in and day at night in front of the Lamb and the angels. I know that, but I'm still going to give up my gift. I'm still going to give up my eternal life because I'm so wicked. Because I've screwed up so bad, Lord. You know what? Just send me to hell. Who would be stupid enough to say, hey, this is never going to end, but I screwed up so bad. Just take it, Lord. Or how about this one? All right, you're not giving it up, right? Not giving it up. You're not going to just give it up to God, you know, but... you know, you're going to stop believing it's a gift, and now somebody convinced you, Joseph Smith, Russell Thayer, from the Jehovah's Witnesses, Muhammad. So you're telling me that all of a sudden, now you're part of this other religion, you gave up Christianity now, and now you're part of this other religion, you went from believing it was a free gift that doesn't cost you anything, that is 100%, just ask God, he'll give it to you, no strings attached, no repenting, nothing. Now, you went from believing it's a gift to now it's a reward. How is that good news? How is that a gospel? That's bad news. If you come at me like, yo, bro, you got to start tithing in order to go to heaven, that's bad news. I'm like, I barely have enough money to pay my rent. Maybe to a billionaire is not a big deal. Oh, I got to start tithing, no big deal. You know, I made $100 billion like Elon Musk. I'll just tithe $10 billion. You think it's a big deal to him? But what about us poor folk, you know? Who are barely making it, you know, making 16 bucks an hour or whatever, working 50, 55 hours, 60 hours a week. You come at me with tithing, bro. I'm going to be like, well, I'll get saved as soon as I make some money. How is that better than the gift of God is eternal life? You know, it's like, oh, I'm not denouncing it, but I don't believe in this anymore. Now I believe it's a reward. Now I believe I have to live right, do right, pay tithes, all this stuff. How is that even good news? So you go from great news, the best news you'll ever hear in your life, that God will give us eternal life, and the eternal life is a gift, and now you believe it's a reward? I'm not denouncing it, but I don't believe it's a gift anymore. I believe now it's a reward. Now you switch gospels? How does that happen? It's because you never trusted this gospel, and your stinking prideful butt just couldn't let go of this crap that you believe and trust the word of God, and you reject it, and you reject it, and you reject it, and you reject it, and sooner or later God says, I'm going to reject you and give you over to a strong delusion. Where you don't believe once saved, always saved, and you can't even understand it. It just hurts your mind. But how many times did we see gift and free gift in Romans 5? A lot. And even in John 6:32, it talks about Jesus saying, hey, whoever the Father gives me, I will no wise cast out. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast you out. He couldn't say that if you could lose your salvation. You have to remove that word never. It's not like you'll never get cast out except if you denounce it. That's not in there. When it says you'll never die, except if you denounce it. That's not there either. So you have to believe, is it eternal or not eternal? And what does eternal mean? That means it'll never end. So if it's not talking about, I mean, I don't know what else to show you to clearly prove that Hebrews 6, when it says these people, you cannot bring them back to repentance, it's impossible to renew them. It's like, it's definitely not talking about saved people, period. There's just so many verses that just makes you say, listen, if you believe that, there's a contradiction in the Bible. There has to be. There's no other way to put it. It's like, how could Jesus say it's eternal, but yeah, you can lose it in Hebrews 6? That's a contradiction. They both can't be true. So they're misinterpreting Hebrews 6, and there's nowhere in Hebrews 6 that says, hey, they were enlightened, now they're saved. Hey, they tasted of the heavenly gift, they're now sealed with the Holy Ghost. Hey, they knew God. No, no, no. Hey, they were enlightened, meaning that they knew the truth, they were shown the truth. Hey, they realized, wow, that's what the Bible says, they just never believed it. That's it. And when you cross God too much, hey, he has enough with you. I don't think God will reject somebody who rejects him the first, second, third, or even fourth time. And obviously, I'm an example of that. I must have rejected Christianity maybe 3 or 4 times. I know Pastor Anderson's wife rejected Christianity who knows how many times. She had to give her the gospel over and over and over again. But eventually, it was getting to the point where he was going to get sick of her. If she didn't eventually, you know, just humble herself and admit, this makes sense, you're right. Nothing out there even comes close to the stuff you're showing me right now. No other religion even comes close to what you're teaching me. Every other religion teaches you have to give up your life to go to heaven. You're right. This is the only one that teaches that God gave up his life so you can go to heaven. If she didn't humble herself and realize that, not just realize that, but trusted it, guess what? God would have got sick of her, and it would have been impossible for her to be saved once he rejected her because she rejected him for the very last time. But praise the Lord, she came to her senses, and guess what? It happens sometimes, i.e. the Apostle Paul. I'm pretty sure he saw Stephen getting stoned, heard the gospel, and said, yeah, yeah. He was enlightened, but he didn't get saved. He saw the Holy Ghost in action. Because guess what? Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, so he saw the Holy Ghost in action. He was right there. He saw it. He saw him. He saw him filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw what a person can do when he's filled with the Spirit. He ain't afraid of no one. Doesn't fear man, nothing. And even saw him calling out to God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lay not this into their charge. But did he get saved? No. Was he enlightened? Yes. Did he see the Holy Ghost? Yes. Did he see the work of the ministry? Yes. It was in action in front of his face. But did he get saved? No. He rejected it. He didn't get saved until later on the road to Damascus. That's when the Lord appeared to him and told him, you go talk to this guy. He's going to get you saved. That's when it happened. So can you reject the Lord? Yes. Does he automatically give you over to a reprobate mind? No, he does not. But if you push him enough, he will. So Hebrews 6 is not talking about these people that came in, were saved, serving the Lord, all of a sudden they start getting backslidden, it's going to get cold-hearted, like Creflo says, and all of a sudden they denounce it. It's like, ah, I don't need it anymore. I'm just going to give it up. What kind of a, no one does that. You have a better chance of finding the Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster than to find an individual that says, I believe in hell, I believe I'm saved, I believe I have eternal life, but you know what? I don't want it. I'm fine with hell. I don't mind burning forever. I don't mind being in pain that's worse than cutting off my hand, my foot, and sticking out my own eyeball out of my own skull. You know, I don't mind that pain. Forget that. I'm good. I'm good with that. You know what? Forget eternal life. God, take it back. You'll find a Bigfoot before you find that guy. You'll probably find aliens before you find that guy. I guarantee you. I guarantee you will. Obviously, I don't believe in aliens or the Bigfoot. There's a bunch of bombs in the woods. That's all I think it is. And somebody with a bad camera. So if it's not talking about these people, is it talking about backsliders? No, not even. Because let me put it this way. Hey, if you repent God is good with you. I don't care who you are. Saul, God was done with him, but I believe because of the nature of God and because of the other stories you see in the Bible, has Saul said, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, please rescue me from these Philistines? I believe because of the nature of God, God would have done something. I think he would have gave him a few more years to live. He was still done. I don't think the kingdom was his. He screwed up too much. He shed too much innocent blood. He killed 85. He had 85 holy men executed, ordered to be executed, and their wives and their children. I think at that point, God says, listen, it's not right for me to let you be king. Continue to be king. But had he done that, said, Lord, hey, save me from these Philistines, I believe God would have said, you know what? I'm going to answer that prayer. If you're humble yourself, you confess it and forsake it, I think God would have done something. Because he does that to everyone else. Nineveh, a bloody city full of violence. You know, he says, hey, I'm going to destroy this city. You know what, Jonah, go tell them they're done. And he says, hey, the Lord's going to destroy this city. The Lord's going to destroy this city. The king hears it and he repents hardcore. He's like fasting. And he's telling everybody, hey, don't feed animals. Don't give them drink. Don't give them food. Let's show God we're serious. Spend every second you possibly can. Forget about eating. We're trying to save our lives. Hey, let's just pray in God and hopefully he changes his mind. And he did. And he did. And Ahab, another wicked king that killed innocent people, hey, he cried unto God and said, God, I'm sorry. And God forgave him. God forgave him. But how about this guy? This guy was with prostitutes. This guy was doing his own thing. This guy kind of forsook the Lord, married a Philistine woman. And guess what? God punished them. And this guy, he got punished hard. But yet God still answered him. Let's take a look at this guy. It's in Judges 16. Judges 16, if you can get there. Judges 16, verse 29, it says this. You can go ahead and meet me in verse 30. I'll read verse 29. In fact, I'll read verse 28 while you go to verse 30. It says in Judges 16, 28, and Samson called on the Lord. But what happened to Samson? Samson got backslidden. Samson screwed up. Samson went to prostitutes. Samson was a mess. Was he not? Samson was saved. Hey, he screwed up. But even Samson, at the very last second, did something amazing. He killed the leaders of the Philistines and freed his nation. What is this message, you know, about? It's about, A, until your very last breath, God can give an opportunity to do something big no matter how bad you screwed up in the past. No matter how bad he has chastised you in the past for being so dumb and getting out of his will and screwing up and sinning. God says, hey, you get punished, you know? Hey, you get that straight? I'm gonna do something until your very last breath. And this is what happened. But look what it says in verse 30. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Why? Because he wanted to free his nation. He's like, hey, I got 3,000 of these guys with me. It's like, Lord, just answer this prayer. Help me to free these people. Help me to die. Help me to go out with a bang. If you couldn't renew these people to repentance, you couldn't pray this. If this guy was so backslidden, and he was so messed up, and he's an example of what happens when you screw up. I mean, think about this punishment that came upon him, getting arrested, his eyes poked. That was of God. God just let him get punished, you know? And so, of course, these people that supposedly are going to church and they're enlightened, they partake of the Holy Ghost, then these people all of a sudden just get backslidden and leave. It's like those people are done. We cannot get those people back. We can no longer pray for those people. And until they're dead, keep praying for that saved brother. Unless a sin is a sin unto death, the Bible says, hey, keep praying for that individual. Obviously, if they're committing adultery, that's a sin that's worthy of death. You have to deliver them over. And at that time, they were punishing people for adultery with death. You can't do that in 2022, but you can kick them out the church. They get busted for adultery. They don't repent. They don't say, I'm sorry. They say, hey, you know what? That's my business, not your business. They're gone. They're done. Cast them out. Hey, deliver them unto Satan, you know, to help them get right for the destruction of the flesh. That maybe even if they're not saved, the soul may get saved. But you know what? If you're still alive, you think God wants you to continue in sin? It's like, yeah, this guy forsaken me. I can't renew him to repentance. It's impossible to renew this guy to repentance. I'm just going to let him live so he can just sin it up. That's not what the Bible says. God says, go and sin no more. So it's definitely not talking about anyone who leaves the church, who gets a little backslidden and ends up taking off back into the world. And sure enough, he ends up skipping church for a month, 2 months, 3 months. It's like, hey, don't worry about those guys. It's impossible to renew them. You'd be surprised. People that get backslidden, one phone call, they're back. They're back. Happened to me. I got backslidden when I was young. I got backslidden. I wasn't even married. I was going to church. I got backslidden. Got into it with my pastor. I lived for 2 weeks. But you know what was funny? I was backslidden for 2 weeks. And every time my phone rang, because I didn't have cell phones at the time, every time my phone rang, I was hoping it would be the pastor just checking on me. Isn't that weird? Hoping he would just say, hey, brother, girl, how you doing? Hey, I know we basically left off on a bad foot, but I want to say I love you. I'm praying for you. And you know what? Hey, if you want to come back, come back. It didn't happen. But every time it rang, I was hoping it would be him. Because inside, I don't want to be backsliding. But you know, we all need help. We all need help when we're in a backsliding state. And be like, brother, just get back. You're right, man. Thanks for waking me up. Thanks for edifying me, building me up. You know what? I'll be in church this Sunday. It does happen. But according to these people, well, we're not saying, because you got the crowd like cry for a dollar. Hebrews 6 is talking about save individuals that renounce their salvation. And now they're done. They could never get saved. And look at all the verses about eternal. What does eternal mean? And when do we get it, Creflo Dalla? Whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. In this life, not after we die, if we make it to the end, endure to the end, which is what they believe. You got to speak in tongues. How about that one? How about that one? Hey, brother, you can't get saved unless you speak in tongues. So none of us are saved. They just condemn all of us that don't speak in tongues. That's what he said in the sermon. He's like, if you're saved, if you're really a child of God, and the evidence is if you are the Holy Ghost because you speak in tongues, then you know what? Hey, you cannot send away your salvation. So if they don't see any tongue speaking, they don't consider you saved. They don't. So none of you guys are saved according to Creflo Dalla. None of you guys. Because none of you guys bark like a dog, roll around the aisles, you know, are out of the driver's seat, and don't realize what's going on until you fall backwards and they wake you up like, what happened? You spoke in tongues, bro. Yeah. Now we can add you to church. But then you got the other crowd about Hebrews 6 that says this. Oh, it's just backsliders. We're not saying those are saved people. We're saying those are saved people that had just backslidden. They backslide too much. God can't use them anymore. You know why they say that? Here's why they say that. Because these people that aren't even saved themselves, they get people saved in their own minds. And these people go to church, but they're not saved. And then sure enough, we show up and we give them the true gospel. They don't believe it. Well, my pastor says, you need to repent. Let's repent. You should likewise perish. He that believes in is baptized. You need baptism. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, you don't know your Bible. My pastor told me this. My pastor told me that. You know, they trust this heretic straight to hell. These are the people that later on become reprobates. These are the people that you hear about when now knocking doors. Well, I got a question. You know, can a person who's saved become a homo? Because I knew this guy, and now he's a homo. You know, and they don't understand. And then people that obviously are like asking questions in these false churches, they're like, what's going on with my cousin? He was faithful. He went to church. He was in a band. All of a sudden, he got caught with some dude. Now he's an atheist. Now he's a full-blown homo. Now he's supporting the LGBT community. Oh, well, Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. You know, that's what they'll bring up. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. You know, it's like, hey, it says right there, once you're saved. I'm not saying they lost their salvation, but they still make you think. The Hebrews 6 is talking about saved people, but now they're backslidden. And it says it's impossible to renew them because they don't get people saved. And as long as they're in that church, they get worse and worse and worse and worse. And when they finally, you know, become reprobates and they go all the way down and they become homos, guess what ends up happening? People get confused. Like, what? He's a homo now? He was married with three kids. He left his wife for some dude. And he's like, Pastor, what's going on? Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. He got backslidden. Now it's impossible to renew him. Now he's a fact for life. You know, at least they believe that facts are life because it's impossible to renew them. Baptists haven't figured it out, but false brothers, false teachers have figured it out, but they twist Hebrews 6. You know, so if it obviously is not talking about saved people, you know, whether because obviously you got the crowd that says Hebrews 6 says you can lose your salvation. False, eternal means what? You lost me already. Forever. You have eternal life, it's forever. Nothing can undo it. Then you got the other false teaching about Hebrews 6 that, hey, we're not saying that they lost their salvation. We're just saying that if a Christian backslides, they can get to the point where whatever their sins they're in, it's impossible to help them repent. You know, if they become a homo, hey, they were saved, but now because it got so sinful, hey, they can't leave that lifestyle. It's impossible to renew them to repentance. That's a false doctrine as well. Then who is Hebrews 6 talking about? False brethren. False brethren. How do we know? Well, let's take a look. Go to Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13. Meet me in verse number 24. I'm going to try to finish in 5 minutes. But I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 11 that says this. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have been in the deep.
in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren. False brethren. There is such a thing as false brethren. And that's what you see in these mega churches. They're false brethren. And guess what? They're not just the mega churches. They'll come in our church as well. How do we know? You're right there in Matthew. Let's take a look. Matthew 13, 24 says this. And now a parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sirs, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, without then the wheat, go and gather them up. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Who are these tares? These are false brethren that the devil plants in churches like this, in churches like ours. Guess what? It's going to happen, and it's always going to happen until Christ returns and he, you know, says, and even then, during the millennial reign, it's still going to happen. You're going to have false brethren pretending that they believe on Christ, and at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loose, and these people are just going to run after Satan to get destroyed. So who is Hebrews 6 talking about? It's not talking about saved people. It's not talking about you losing your salvation. It's talking about, hey, these people that are with us, guess what? They push God so far, there's going to get to the point where they don't believe what they've been shown, and it's going to be impossible to get these people saved because God's finally going to just say, enough is enough. You're done. I'm rejecting you. I'm giving you over. I'm giving you over. And the verse of that talks about false brethren is also in Galatians. You know, I want you to go ahead and go to Romans 1:21. In Galatians 2 says the same thing. It says, and that because of false brethren, you see that? False brethren. So who are these Hebrews 6 people that fall away and you can no longer renew them? Those are false brethren. False brethren. You go to Romans 1:21. I'm going to read from 1 John 2:19. It says this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. You know, what is he saying? These Hebrews 6 people, they were not of us. They're not saved. You know, they were never saved. They were enlightened. They were in church. They heard the gospel. They went out soul winning. They heard me preach. They heard you preach. They heard us say that it's a gift 100,000 times. And yet they still want to hold on to this stupid doctrine because maybe they were brainwashed as children that Hebrews 6 is talking about saved people. And they just could not let that go. That they end up just saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to test it out. They come to our church. They infiltrate our church. They hear what we got to say. But because they don't realize that they've been given over, everything doesn't make sense. You know, they literally think, well, I believe eternal life is a gift, but can you go to this side? I'm like, what side? Where they don't have it anymore? Yeah, testing the waters. No, it's like, how do I even answer that? What part of eternal don't you understand? I can understand if you doubt your salvation, but you're not doubting your salvation. You're doubting what salvation is. That is truly eternal. That's what's happening here. But Romans 1, these are the people. Look at this. Because when they knew God, they were enlightened. But did they get saved? In Romans 1, in case you don't know, I know you guys know, this is pure words. We know Romans 1 is reprobates. Amen? These are the Hebrews 6 people. These are the enlightened ones. These are the partakers of the Holy Ghost. Because our work is of the Holy Ghost. When they go soul winning with us, they're partaking in the work of the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't mean they're sealed with the Holy Ghost. Not even close. But it says clearly, they knew God. They glorified him not as God, and they weren't thankful. Let me put it this way. People that don't believe eternal life is a gift have nothing to be thankful for. Because they believe it's a reward. And why would you thank someone for earning something that's a reward? That's just a fact. But us who are saved and understand salvation, we're thankful every second of the day. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for showing me eternal life is a gift. And if you don't believe it's a gift, you believe it's a reward. And why would you be thankful? You think the guy that wins a gold medal at the race is thanking people for putting the medal over his neck? He's like, give me that. Put it on my neck. Isn't that what they're thinking? They're not like, well, thank you for my medal. No way are they thankful. They're like, man, finally, all that hard work paid off. They're not thinking, hey, thank you. Awesome. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. They're not thinking that. They're thinking, man, it took me years to get here. Finally, my dreams come true. They have nothing to be thankful for. And that's what these reprobates are doing. They're not thankful because they don't believe that eternal life is a gift by faith. They believe the opposite. And they reject God, and they reject God, and they reject God. And this is what happens. So Creflo Dollar is halfway right. It says they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. But they were never saved to begin with. Period. And the nature of God is simple. Here's the nature of God. You don't have to go there. You can go to Proverbs 28 if you want, but I'll finish up with these. Numbers 14 says, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, this is Moses talking to the Lord, pardon, I beseech, the iniquity of these people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now, you might not have gotten it, but this is Numbers. We already went through Exodus. Now we're in Numbers. They have provoked the Lord so much from Exodus all the way to this point. They have pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, and yet God still gives them a second chance. Wouldn't it be impossible to renew these people if these people were all saved and Hebrews 6 was about saved people that can no longer be renewed to repentance, that can no longer get right with the Lord? When the Lord says clearly that my hand is stretched out all the day long, ready to pardon. Ready to pardon anybody that wants it, hey, he'll give it to you. But why? Why did he finally come down on Egypt? Not Egypt, I'm sorry, the children of Israel. Look what he says. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men, the one that he just pardoned, the one that Moses says forgive them, he says, all these men which have seen my glory, they were enlightened. They were enlightened. They saw the glory of the Lord with the miracles. Think about the Red Sea. Think about that one. And yet they still are hard-hearted. They still don't believe. They're enlightened. They see it. And they're not thankful that God saved their hides and didn't let them get slaughtered by the Egyptians. And he did miracle after miracle. And it says right there, they saw my glory. They saw my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. Think about that. 10 times. And he still didn't come down on them. That's how merciful God is. That's how merciful he is. That's his nature. He doesn't come down on you right away when you sin, when you provoke him, when you upset him. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, ten. But he's making it clear to Moses, I'm about to reject these guys permanently. They've done it to me 10 times. They were enlightened. They partook of my work. And yet they still don't believe in me. If these guys fall away, I'm done with them. It's going to be impossible to renew them because what? Much is given, much is required. And once these people reject all his miracles, and you saw what he said, they saw my glory, they rejected my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and they're still provoking me, they're still not trusting me. You know what? I'm just going to give them over. I'm going to give them over to a reprobate mind. But for the rest of us who are saved, I'll just read this verse, Proverbs 28, 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper. That was King Saul's fault. He kept making excuses for his sins. He kept saying it was the people. He kept saying, I am doing the Lord. I am doing the Lord's work. I am obeying the Lord. But look what it says. If you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. That was his problem. David's problem was not that he was hiding his sins. He says, against thee and thee alone have I done this wickedness. When he killed Uriah and committed adultery, he flat out said, I've done sin. I've committed sin. And anyone, like the Bible says, anyone that confesseth and forsaketh their sins shall have mercy. In other words, they can be renewed to repentance. It doesn't say except if they finally just push God too far and they just fall away. These saved Christians can no longer be forgiven. They can no longer be brought to repentance. But that's not what Hebrews 6 is talking about. Hebrews 6 is about false brethren all day long. So, when they come to you at school, I knew it was a petition, and they tell you Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 is about saved people. They've lost their chance. They've lost their salvation. What are you going to do? They're like, no, it's not talking about saved people. It's talking about false brethren. Hebrews 6, just remember this. Hebrews 6, you'll remember this. False brethren, that's the answer. What do you think of this? You say, that's false brethren. Haven't you read John 3:16, John 3:36, John 6:47, John 10, John 11, and the rest of them? That's your answer. You understand? Is this coming? It's coming. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but you'll get these false brethren. The tares, hey, they're coming. They're about to be planted if they're not planted yet. And this is how they start out. What do you think of Hebrews 6? What do you think of Matthew 25:41? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And the answer is simple. It's like, dude, read John 3:16. I don't know how to answer that besides read it. Read it and believe it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thanks so much for all that you've done, Lord. Thanks for these people. I know it's not easy to come to church on a Wednesday or on a Thursday night. But nevertheless, their Father, I'll ask you to please bless them, keep them safe. And Father, we're in a war, spiritual war, of course. And Lord, just help us to stay nice and ready to fight these wars, Lord, these battles as they come. And Lord, for those that are struggling with Hebrews 6, Lord, obviously it is what it is. Their Father, just need to get saved. And for those that obviously think it's referring to saved people that can no longer be used by the Lord, Father, that's just false doctrine, period. You know, the scriptures teach us everywhere that there's people who have messed up bad, and yet you still went and used them to do mighty things, Lord. So just help us to know the truth and help us to preach the truth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
All right, turn in your hymnals to song number 161, Our Great Savior. 161, Our Great Savior. Are you ready?
Granted me forgiveness
Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end.
Amen. You are all dismissed. Have a good evening.
All right, guys, we're going to take off. We're going to fly to 10. So, morning,